It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Quack Attack is back, baby, as we are here in Mighty Ducks Game Changers Season 2, Kevin Mahadeo, Brooklyn, New York, here with my co-host, Melissa Woodward. How's it going?
I'm good. Yeah, still from Vancouver. Nothing has changed on that end. But yeah, we're here.
We are here.
We weren't here, but we're back now. We're going to talk about two episodes. It's
going
to be good.
Yeah, we got to stop going into the penalty box. I mean, like, we're our own, I guess, Bash siblings here, which is different from the Bash brothers and the Smash siblings. We're our own thing, the Bash siblings.
I am so here for the Smash siblings. I'm so excited.
Also, it's one of the things I actually really liked about these two episodes. I will personally say I wasn't feeling these two episodes as much as I was feeling the season so far. I think a big part of that is about episode 7, The Spirit of the Ducks Part 2, which we'll talk about, because I think you get your anticipation and hopes up, especially with a title like that. And
Yeah, I don't know. There were parts of this that really reminded me of like OG Ducks, and that was really kind of the spirit of it, especially that second episode. So there were parts of it that I really liked. And then, it's this season has been very, I was talking to Sean the other day, who I know listens, and he was talking about this just being like wonderful, like turn your brain off TV. And it's true. Like, this is not, I don't know. It's just, it's just pleasant to watch, and it doesn't need to be some like big, like nostalgia hit every single time. That sometimes it can just be what it is, and it can just be good. But yeah, so anyway, we'll get into it. We start with Twigs.
Yes, we do start with Twigs, which is also the start of tournament time, which was kind of like a curveball to me, because I was like, wait, it's tournament time already? Like, we haven't even practiced, which I guess is the theme for this episode, because they haven't practiced, and we see how that works out for the Ducks, certainly.
Yeah, the scheduling of this camp is a bit wild to me. Especially
maybe
because
this is why Alex ignores it.
Yeah, like, so theoretically they are about halfway through the summer, I think is what we're supposed to believe. And so there's maybe a month of tournament play, but I'm confused as to how they are spending their time, because are they playing one game every day? He said it's a round robin, right? So you're going to play, there's eight teams, you're going to play seven games, and then like a bracket of, you know, so you'll have your, I guess, four rounds of, three rounds of that. I can't do that. I can't picture that quickly enough right now, but okay. So we've got like 10, 11 games over a month. So are you playing like one game every 4 days? Like, are you playing the same teams over and over again? And that, like, cause that works too, but I'm just confused. Are they playing one game of hockey every day and then, I guess, training the rest of the time? They made such a big deal about it in the second episode that they had one day off and this was like their only day off. So I'm like,
right,
what are you doing with the rest of your time? I'm so confused.
How are all of them, like, how many hours of the day are there? How many teams are playing per day, right? Like, there's a lot of questions on how that fully functions. I don't even know. I mean, listen,
When I go to a tournament, I play four games in a day. And, like, I know that's
feels
a
like
lot.
A lot.
It is a lot. And, like, sometimes there are no
And
breaks.
You're an adult.
Yeah, and I'm a grown adult. And, like, you know, sometimes when you're playing, like, elite level play, you know, you usually play, like, two, sometimes three games in a day. Like, one game every day. It's still more games than we've accounted for, but also it seems like not that much. And these kids could play more games. I don't know.
Yeah, it is like the structure is a bit messy, I guess, which is, I mean, par for the course, if anything involving Mighty Ducks, it being messy and doesn't make any sense, because so much of where we're going in these two episodes, I'm still just like, I don't quite understand, right? Like, so the tournament's like starting off and there's a part where obviously the kids are just like we don't have a chance, right? And Alex is like, of course you have a chance. To which, again, my motto this episode was just like, do you have a chance? You haven't practiced. Like, I feel like we haven't really seen them practice as a team at all. We've seen like individual stuff where they showcased like that one episode where they're showcasing all the training stuff that they do. But, like, on the ice practicing, I don't think we've seen the Ducks do anything. We've seen Dominate do stuff and Evan do stuff, but I feel like the Ducks have done nothing.
Yeah, I have another question about this format. Because they talk about how the top two teams after the round robin will face off in the summer showcase.
Yeah.
And I was like, I thought they were playing Canada. I thought the whole point early on at the beginning is they made a comment about how the winners will play against Canada. So that's not a thing.
Well, maybe maybe there's like multiple levels to this.
Yeah.
Maybe
the winner of the summer showcase then goes on.
Goes to play Canada, right? Like, maybe that's the next thing.
And so, like, when are the scouts? The scouts are there when the top two teams face off, I imagine, at that.
Maybe they're there
showcase.
For both?
I don't know. Anyway, it's confusing. I don't, I think the Canada line was like in there and then they forgot about it.
They forgot
like
about not, it. Probably.
By the time they wrote the sixth episode, it's like, no, we're done. Also, AJ Lawrence is a permanently coiled snake.
Yes.
That was a line that just felt like it needed repeating.
It did need repeating because that also doesn't make much sense. Like, if you're permanently coiled, it also means you're never striking. So, like, I don't know. Like,
just hunkering down for a nap at all times.
at all times. He doesn't mean like coiled to strike. He just means rolled up and napping. Which, you know, I mean, from Florida in Fort Lauderdale, that could be the lifestyle. There's two Fort Lauderdalers, right? There's the party ones, and then there's the I'm gonna just chill on the beach and take a nap ones. Maybe
really
I'm even wrong.
So
it is
sleep.
which will come into play, I think, in the second episode we're gonna be talking about.
fair enough. Alex says they shouldn't count themselves out, and Coop says I wouldn't exactly count us in either, which is a great point.
Coop was great these two episodes, by the way.
Yeah, Coop is, I was going to say the same thing. Coop is like stepping up and taking a role that I really love. Nick has his binder. He says, common theme. They're all very strong, very fast. One of the girls' legal name is Rambo. And Alex tells them that they have something none of the other teams have. Heart.
Yes. So. Yes, the most efficient skill set, as we know, it's the one Planeteer that everyone wants to be, as exactly. we mentioned before. Having heart is where it's at. No, none of this matters because, like, the Ducks get trounced in their first game, which for me is, like, good. Shocker. Alex didn't prepare them at all.
Eisen is back doing sports commentary. Yes. He says, my agent swore to me it would not be weird to come back and call the action of a summer camp tournament. So here we go. And he mentions that Evan was benched for ditching practice for the birthday party of his best friend. And I was like, this man is a professional.
Yes.
He's commenting on like
love
kid birthday party dynamics.
It's so great. As he says, this doesn't feel like the end of my career. I love this guy. I love the announcer. I'm ecstatic he was back for this episode. I assume this means he will be there for the rest of the season, calling the games. He's, I don't know, there's something about his energy that I'm like all for. There's the other part later on too, as we see Dominate play and, you know, dominate the other players. And he says sacrificing his body as only one can in children's hockey.
Yeah. That was great. Yeah. The Ducks are getting trounced. Alex tries to put Jason, but he says he's damaged good. Sophie tries passing to him. He shoots it wide. And Eisen says, feels like these Ducks should probably figure out how to swim because hockey's not going so great.
Hockey's not going great. Which also, man, Jace's episode, I have a lot of thoughts about Jace coming out of these two, but we'll get to it. He still on his just like, I don't want to play. I can't hit the ice. I'm ineffective, which is, you know, look, self-deprecation, not bad, but like there's a limit. Jaceris. I don't know what his full name is. It's probably
Jace, definitely Jafison. Yeah.
Yes.
Henceforth, we'll be known.
Yes. Jafison.
Yeah. Nick says it turns out the skill level of hand-selected talent from across the country is incredibly high. Who knew?
Who knew, right? Yeah. Like, I do, again, like, speaking of Coob, right, when he's talking about this, he's apologized to Alex and says, sorry we let you down. And that, like, broke me.
Yeah, I know.
I was so mad at Alex when he said that line.
Yeah, they compare the situation. They were saying the teams at States were good, but this is a whole other level. Like regular pizza versus Chicago deep dish. And Kevin, I need to understand what this means. Is she saying that Chicago deep dish is like next level pizza in terms of quality?
So they're from Michigan, right?
Minnesota. Like,
I think Minnesota, which is, I believe, closer to Chicago, obviously. And so maybe they have I think it's even closer to you.
Hold on. Wait, you're saying that Minnesota is closer to Vancouver than New York?
No, it's a Canada.
Oh, just Canada in general. Okay, dude, I live so far west.
Yeah, it's pretty far.
I get that, like, to everyone else, we're just all the same, but like,
yeah.
Minnesota is like south of Ontario, Canada. I believe, which is four provinces over from where I live. And my country is very large. It would take me 5 to 6 days to drive there.
It might be equidistant from where we are, from New York to Vancouver, where Minnesota is located. I'll say, look, I'm actually notoriously terrible at geography. Like, it's the subject matter that I don't strongly care about. And never pay attention to, whether it's our own state geography, especially the middle states. And I know that sounds terrible, but like, I cannot tell you a Wyoming from a, you know, Montana. It's the same with the world. Either way, it is closer to Chicago and Illinois than it is New York, which is your traditional pizza. So if they're trying to say that deep dish is the superior pizza, that's just regional bias and also pure lunacy. Like, I don't know what fumes they're like soaking up there. Maybe that's why the ice palace had to be shut down, because clearly they were like inhaling something to make them think of this. I'm not gonna trash Chicago pizza. I think it has a place. Deep dish pizza has its place. It's just that place is not among other pizza. Like that's where I am on this. They just emphasize the pie part of pizza pie. And I'm like, okay, well, sure. That's a fun thing to have every now and then. But is it pizza? Like pizza? No. And someone I'm upsetting, I know about this because I know it's like a heated topic, but
yes, please write in and send us that feedback.
The debate is insane to me.
So I looked it up. Part of the problem is that Minnesota is much closer to you, but there are lakes in the way. So
yeah,
as the crow flies, certainly faster. But if we were to walk between Minnesota and Brooklyn, it would take you 455 hours. However,
so many.
If you were to walk between Minnesota and Vancouver, it would take you 532 hours. So it is closer to you than
it
me.
It is closer
even
to yeah.
accounting for lakes.
Fair enough. Fair yeah. enough.
So, you know, there we go. I know people were
yeah,
wondering.
Neither of us are going to go to Minnesota, though. So we don't have to worry too much about that.
Yeah. I mean, I would be happy to go to Minnesota, but like don't see why I would. There's so many other places.
I don't know. Yeah, there's so many other places to go before Minnesota. I'm sorry, Minnesotans, but come on.
I mean, so I've seen parts of it are pretty, but you know,
just probably. Watch Fargo, right? That takes place in Minnesota, I think. So like, there you go. Just watch Fargo, you get the vibe.
There we go. Every time you say Minnesota, Minnesota, you sound like you're from Minnesota.
That's what always happens. It's just such a like that's I was actually okay. We're completely tangenting, but the Minnesota that's another
podcast,
reason why close the Canada thing because the Minnesota accent is very close to the like Canadian accent. Like
yeah,
they're very similar. Hence why like there's a strange like oh it's closer to Canada than it is like New York. But yeah, I don't know what it is, but that accent is very fun. Obviously from Fargo, but also. Bobby's World, which did not take place, I think, in Minnesota, but had a very similar, like, oh, yeah, don't you know, like, type accent, which was my childhood.
There,
oh, yeah.
yeah. Anyway. So Nick says they have to go back to the analytics. Their next game is against Team Hustle. He studied every one of their players, but not in a weird way.
No, not in a weird way. And they, once again, I love the smash cut too, like 9-0.
Yeah, yeah. Evan's playing for Dominate. He slides and blocks the shot. This is when
That's
I
we get that line,
thing
yes.
about sacrificing the body. But it turns out that in so doing, he cracks his skate. So Evan talks to Coach Cole, who tells him he was doing great out there. He's a real grinder on the ice. Evan says he loves everything about this place. The shampoo in the locker room gives him great volume. And Cole gives him a pair of skates that he got mm-hmm. from a sponsor. And Evan says this is much better than the time I got a mold for my retainer. And I don't understand if that means that it was like somehow donated by a sponsor.
So-
What
there's a part where Cole is talking about these skates and then he says it like it like molds to your feet basically.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
So he's trying to make the comparison like, ah yes, this type of mold is better than the one I got for my retainer. Which okay. yeah, I guess that's true. Again, a tangential but weird take. I would probably prefer because like when they make the mold for your teeth, right? Like a mouth guard, that stuff they put in, like, I actually think that feels kind of fun, and I feel like I enjoy that more than I would, like, a mold on my foot. So, I don't know, Evan. I kind of think mold on the teeth better than the mold on the foot. At least that's my take on this.
I guess it's, yeah, but, like, the purpose of it is, like, retainer versus, like, ice skates. So one of those is much more fun.
I guess, but one of them is fixing your teeth. That's also kind of like, you know.
Yeah, but like to a, you know, 12-year-old boy, like, you know, it's fine.
You're right. Give him 3 years. He will care a lot more.
Also, to all the adults out there, this is your reminder to wear your retainer every now and then. I haven't worn. I didn't even know where mine is. It's gone.
I have a mouth guard that I need to wear because I clench my jaw at night and I have it. And like every morning I wake up and I'm just like, ow, just like, you need to wear that. It doesn't. And the thing is, this doesn't stop you from doing it. It just stops you from like damaging your teeth. And
in the process. Yeah. You like yeah. your gums when you do that, right?
You do. You do. And the only way to like stop the clenching is like therapy. So like I should probably also invest in that beyond just the mold. Everyone should. Everyone should go to therapy, which hilariously, actually great segue, because that's Alex's solution in a way. Is group therapy, sort of, where you sit around the campfire and talk about your negative emotions. Because after Coop apologizes for letting her down, this is her solution. And I'm just like, this is, Alex, this is not the answer. No. Go practice. Go practice on the ice, Alex.
Yeah, this is wild. Yeah, so they have this confrontation with Team Dominate where they come in doing, like, high knees. And he's... Cole's like, dominate, jog in place. And she's like, ducks, breathe in and out deeply.
Breathe in
and
out.
Yeah. I was like, oh gosh. And they talk about being 0-2 versus 2-0. She says, it's the same numbers, just different order. I have to make a comment here because in a standing of 8 teams, who you have happened to play in those 2 games makes a big difference, right? Because when we look at the leaderboard later, 4 teams won 2 games and lost nothing. And then 4 teams lost 2 games and won nothing. So like, sure, the Ducks are probably losing by a wider margin, but for all we know, they played 2 teams from the top half. Dominate played 2 teams from the bottom half. And like, actually when Ducks play like Perseverance or something, that game will probably be a lot closer and will probably be like, I don't know. This is so early for them to be being like, we are the absolute worst and terrible and nothing will redeem us. And we are so much, so far inferior to everything. Like, you could have been playing 2 of the best teams in the 8. And like, maybe you're an average team. And like, you've played 2 you've played 2 games. You have no idea. This is
not
so dumb.
Not to side with Dominate, but... Alex then choose the ranked worst players on the board and did not practice with them. So I think just by virtue of what they've been doing and who they are, I do think they might be the worst players out there, no matter who they go against. If they had just practiced a day, I would have been like a little more lenient towards Alex.
Yeah,
this,
and I guess
this is actually why we need Bombay.
Yeah, it's true. Cole says they're going for a celebratory run around the lake, but Alex says that they're going to celebrate by doing some jumping jacks later, which was funny. But yeah, they're looking at this leaderboard. Maya says she's trying to think about how it's so bad it's hilarious, but the hot tears are starting to come out. Fry says he'll never hear the end of it from Lawrence or his other brother Duke, who does gymnastics.
Yes.
It felt like a very random. I was like, okay, is Duke also kind of a jerk? This is where we get Coop telling Alex, sorry that we let her down. So I paused it to look at the leaderboard. The teams in the top 4 who have won 2 games and lost nothing are Dominate, Hustle, Intention, and Endurance. The teams that have lost 2 games and haven't won anything are Focus, Accountability, Perseverance, and the Ducks. To me, this seems like these 4 are the good names and these 4 are the stupid
names. Are the bad names?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like Accountability is just so weak. Like, yeah. I know, like, it's important, but like when they named themselves Accountability, I was rolling my eyes off of that one.
Yeah, it's like when the things that you focus on are like Hustle and Endurance, it's like, and Domination, like, sure, yeah, you're gonna do well. And then when the things you focus on are like Perseverance and Accountability, like,
just keep on trying and know that you're responsible for what happens. Yeah,
and
focus, paying attention. Yeah. Don't have ADHD on the ice. We'll do our best, I guess.
Yeah. So I would like pause this and I was like, yeah, this tracks. Like, these are the 4 teams, like, just from the guessing of the names that I felt like would be in each category.
I mean, it makes it easier, right? Like, I'm all for, like, yes, the ones that you would think would be leading are leading. Because if Dominate was in last place, that would be silly.
Well, obviously, yeah, that would be dumb. But yeah, so like I'm saying, I'm curious to see what happens when like the Ducks play against Accountability. Like, maybe that game is more even. We don't know.
That might be what we see after their session in, you know.
I suspect it will. And the story that we get will be like, look at them suddenly winning games. And it's like, yeah, because they're playing the teams that they hadn't played before.
Playing
who were actually
teams.
Always like not as good as, like not that good. So it's like, yeah, of course. But yeah. So they're sitting around the campfire by the RV. Alex tells them that she knows a lot of negative emotions are going around, but she wants to share an old camp tradition and tells them to find a stick. Gertie asks if it should be sharp, which I thought was very funny because she is prepared to like kill a walrus or something.
Fostered a walrus pup, is true. Something she has mentioned.
Yeah, Alex says no, they
Stan
are going to
into.
Spear each other.
Yeah.
And so they go around saying a negative emotion they're feeling and why, and then they pass Alex their stick. Gertie says in Alaska, it doesn't matter what she wears or how she acts, but here it's hard to know if she's coming off as sort of odd, like she's the only one that has ever fostered a walrus pup. Sam says he'd be all over that. And this is like, in retrospect, it's like, yeah, this is the like Gertie Sam like duo that I'm so hyped for.
Well, like it was what I was saying with last episode when, you know, he was doing his like army crawl and like she jumped down with him. I'm like, I'm shipping it. So like,
Yeah, I dig it. Sam says he feels like they suck and he's not pointing fingers at it being anyone's fault, but he did dislocate his finger in the last game.
Gross.
Yeah. Fries is tired of feeling invisible at home. They always travel for his brother's games. And even though he's on the team too, they still refer to it as AJ's games. And at the hotel, AJ makes him sleep on a cot. Sophie's feeling lost. She's been finding this other side of herself, the ripped jeans, dyed hair. She might consider getting a tattoo someday, but she doesn't know if that's the real her. Maya is exhausted between hockey, her boyfriend, looking this great, being a feminist, and trying to get the knots out of Gertie's hair every day. It's just too much.
It's too much. And Gertie offers to just cut them out. And Maya's like, no, don't do that.
No, we'll do it later. But yeah. She seems very like put upon by Gertie's hair situation.
I adore Maya. She's great.
Coop is bummed that they're all bummed. Jace is feeling that this is pointless and he doesn't hand over his twig. He says he doesn't think going around the fire and sharing their feelings will make them feel any better. Alex says he's part of the team. Jace says she wants to fix him. Does she want to fix his shot so tomorrow they'll beat his dad's team? Alex says that it's not what it's about, that he doesn't have to play or be a part of the team, but she's trying to help him find a little happiness at summer camp. Jace asks her what's so great about summer camp. I thought this was going to be a bigger moment. I thought that this whole, like, the reason why Alex is so fixated on summer camp was going to be some, like, big emotional reveal at some point. But she just kind of drops it. Yeah, but she just kind of drops it that her parents got divorced when she was 9. She spent years going back and forth. And summer camp was the one place she could leave her toothbrush for longer than a week. She made great friends there. I was like, oh, this is actually a very sweet story. And I feel like it's being glossed over so quickly.
I mean, it is a nice story, but like also for me, I'm just like, yeah, but like, I mean, the things that work for you, Alex, ain't gonna be the same for everyone else. Like, which is, you know, I do think something parents need to understand is that kids have their own things. You can't just, you know, push your stuff on them. But
yeah.
Jace is having none of it because he says, in my opinion, a very factual statement, which is that he's from LA. It's summer all year round.
Yeah, she tells Jace this team is his family and community. This is summer. And yeah, he's like, it's summer all year round. It's very hot here.
Facts. Like, I can confirm as a person who lived there, it is summer all year round. There's no such thing as a
it
real summer camp.
Truly dreadful.
It's not bad, honestly. Although, as I've said, I've been living in fall in New York and I love it. Love wearing chunky sweaters.
We're both rocking some like thick knit sweaters right now. I've been so cozy for days. We got snow here in Vancouver a couple days ago. It was very exciting.
Oh God, that's so early.
it's like lows of -1, -3 each
night.
Well,
I don't know what that means.
Very cold. It sounds cold.
Well,
it is
cold. Actually, this one I might know. So if it's -1 or -2 or whatever, that's like 30, I think, or something close to that, 34. That would make sense. Yeah. I think there's like the -32 difference or something like that. I think that might be it. Anyway.
Okay. Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. Nick says his trade is just about not loving doing laundry, but they've moved past that moment. Alex tells them the point is to carry all these feelings by themselves, and one stick on his own is easy to break. But they're in this together, and together they're unbreakable, and as she tries to, like, break all the sticks, and she can't.
I was... wondering where she was going with this whole.
I thought they were just gonna like thing. Burn the sticks or something.
Yeah,
like, here, like, your problems are gone, burned
which
away.
Which would have been even more ridiculous. But honestly, what she's trying to say makes sense. It is for me. I was just watching. I was like, oh, Apes Together Strong. Because I'm a big fan of the Planet of the Apes remakes from Rise of the Planet of the Apes, and that's like a theme, is that Apes Together Strong, specifically
or,
talking about...
Ducks Fly Together,
yeah,
from this franchise
that.
That we are currently talking about.
But literally in Planet of the Apes, like, they use the sticks as a metaphor. Like, he uses that to be like... And to be fair, those are apes. So, like, there's a level of explaining it. And I'm just like, yes, you have to explain, like, children and apes.
Yeah,
like,
I was going to say,
semi-intelligent apes, same level.
Yeah. Alex says, that's what it is to be a team. That's what it is to be together. And Nick says, you just landed with the stick metaphor. Like, yes, perhaps. And then we get the theme music. We're getting a lot of it, and it just makes me happy every single time.
Every time. Yeah. It really gets me. And I do think that is a nostalgia play, right? Because, like, I think the theme just really hits straight to my childhood and so iconic. Every time I think about it, I'm just like, yeah. I get, like, you know, get feelings, which I don't normally have.
Yeah. So we get the Ducks playing their game. Sophie tells Alex that Jace isn't coming. Alex tells them that together they are unbreakable. We see Coop save. Sam scores a goal. It's all very exciting. Ivan says Morrow is playing against his own mom, and he wouldn't want to be at that family Thanksgiving. And this gave me very big, like, Sierra Easton. She voted out her mom energy.
She had to do it. She had to prove that she's in it, and she's devoted, and she's, you know, with that alliance. So
yeah, and it was no clearly such a big deal that we're going to make so much reference to it for many, many years afterwards.
Many seasons.
So Evan's never going to live this down for playing against his mom.
No.
You know? We see Sophie score, end of second period. The score's tied 2-2, and Coach Colzer tells her to be proud of her team.
Melissa, I was losing my mind. Like, I didn't. Because again, this is the Mighty Ducks, right? Sometimes literally a pep talk is all you need.
Yeah.
And I was losing my mind that they were doing this well against Dominate. Like, if it was any other team, I would have been like, okay, sure. That's how the Ducks work. Fine.
Yeah.
But the fact that it was Dominate, most of my notes at this point were in all caps because I could not understand. I could not understand what was happening. The reveal. Cracked me up. Actually loved that. Like, I felt so much better.
Yeah, because I was thinking when Sam scored the goal, I was like, oh, cool. They're like gonna score the first goal and then like still get crushed, but at least feel like they are in the game.
They got one.
Right? Like that they are capable of scoring. They might score a couple, but Dominate will still beat them. Like, I was sort of expecting some sort of like incremental progress there. Like, again, I played a game at Canadian Nationals this summer where we ended up playing the team that would like win the whole thing. And we scored the first point against them. And we were all like, whoa, this is like a very exciting moment. We were like, we are beating this team technically for a fraction of a moment. And then, you know, they crushed us.
There is a moment there, right? With that. Like, I think that's reasonable. Like, this is, I mean, they're very similar movies in the terms of like how they do the like entertainment and underdog thing. But like, Rocky IV, great, like, parallel to this. The whole thing is he's fighting, you know, this is the second time I bring up Rocky IV, I think, on this podcast.
Yeah,
but he's fighting, you know, big Russian dude, Ivan Drago, and the whole thing is, like, he can't be beat, he's so super tough, and there's just a point where in the big final match between him and Rocky, like, Rocky's getting wailed on most of the time, and, like, Rocky manages to get a good hit in and, like, cut his eyebrow, like, Ivan's eyebrow, and, like, there's this whole thing where it's just like, oh, see? He can be beat. Like, he's not a machine. He's a man. And it is that moment of like, yeah, like, you know, like you get the point, you feel better. It's like invigorating. So like, I would have gotten that. Like, yeah, the one point, but they still got crushed. But the tie, I was like, I don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because I think those moments are really powerful, right? I can think of another moment where my team was playing what was one of the best teams in like the world at that time. And a teammate of mine kind of intercepted the frisbee on a pass from the other team. And I swear we all like stopped moving on the field and we're like, wait, we can do that? And it was this moment of realization of like, they're not absolutely perfect and incapable of making mistakes. Like, we could, I don't even know if we scored that point. Like, I think we scored 1 point that entire game. But it was just this moment where I swear, like, we all stopped moving and just, like, stared and we're like, oh, we should play better. And it, like, we seriously started playing better that as the moment we, like, believed we could. And it is a thing.
Goes a long way.
But we didn't win that game, right? We scored 1 point and that was it. So, yeah, I think, and even, you know, in my game this summer, I think we scored, like, 5 points, right? Like, we're not, you don't go around and, like, tie the team. So, yeah. The Ducks are celebrating. Alex tells them to keep it up, bring it home. Nick goes to get a drink, runs into Lawrence, says just two athletes meeting at the fridge, getting our electrolytes up. He doesn't know what electrolytes are, but it sounds like they're going to make him electric. He says they're in for tight third period.
What plants need, I'm not mistaken. Electrolytes, what plants need. That's an Idiocracy reference.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait, do I have to explain to you what electrolytes are?
No, in Idiocracy, there's this whole thing about, like, plants need electrolytes, so they keep watering the plants with, like, Gatorade, and all the plants die. Just because they're too, you know, dumb to realize, like, that's not a thing.
Okay. Yeah, that is definitely not a thing. And so Nick is just, like, going on and on that, you know, unexpectedly holding their own, even though they all doubted them. They had a very emotional bonding session. There's something you can't quantify analytically. It came from the heart. Their coach motivated them. And this is when Lawrence interrupts and tells them their whole team is playing with their offhands. And that's the only reason they're tied. The amount of times they had to explain what offhand meant in this episode, I wanted to be like, we get it. We understand. It's not that complicated.
I mean, I feel like, again, who is the audience at this point? Because I do think if it's, like, pretty young kids, they might not understand offhand. But yeah, I think three times was a lot.
Yeah. Nick tells the team that that's how Cole wouldn't humiliate them, and then their team would still get a workout. And Gritty says, so I'm not hockey's new Alaskan superstar.
I mean, she still might be. I don't know what's going on in Alaska, so...
I mean, there's got to be great hockey players from Alaska.
Well, yeah, it's the one place that's, like, it's ice all the time.
Exactly. It's practice. Like, you know, most top NHL players are Canadian. It's because they're where the ice is from.
Yes, it's why the Jamaican bobsled team did not win.
Right, yeah. So Alex calls out the other team, says they're not charity cases. Cole says they weren't supposed to find out that playing offhanded is a viable hockey training exercise. I don't really feel like that is. I think
I disagree. I actually think, okay, see, I think this episode, I'm just really mad at Alex. I agree. I think it can be a viable thing to, like, practice offhand. You get better. It's the same thing with, like, boxing. People will try to practice both, you know, southpaw and regular. I think that can be handy depending on the opponent you're going against. If you're fighting a left-handed or going against a left-handed player and you're right-handed, like, I think there's ways that it's a viable training technique. Now, is it mean to do this against the lowest ranked team without them knowing? It's a little mean. I would be more sympathetic if Alex did any effort to train them and help them practice. Like, if they were doing this and the Ducks had been putting in their dangness to, like, practice and get here, I would have been like, yeah, that's a dick thing. But, like, he thinks Alex is basically a, like, not doing her job, something he, I think, calls her out in the next following episode. And, like, he's kind of right. Alex, do your job.
Yeah. So it's funny because, like, in Frisbee as well, like, you learning to throw with your, like, non-dominant hand is helpful. And there's certain times that you might want to do that. I really suck at it and have to, like, keep working on it. My left hand is very useless. But the thing that's different about hockey is, like, the equipment that you use differs depending on, like, your hockey stick is different depending on if you are a righty or a lefty. So in order to, like, switch which one you're using, it's not just like, oh, this time I'm going to punch you with my left hand. It's like, no, now I need to go get, like, a totally different hockey stick that, like, curves in the opposite direction. I don't know. People that actually play hockey, tell us how big, if this is, like, actually a viable strategy or not. But to me, this feels, like, different than, like, my ability to, like, suddenly throw a frisbee with my other hand. Like, the equipment necessary seems like that's a factor here.
That's a fair point. Like, yeah, we need some hockey professionals to weigh in on this.
Because, again, it's not us.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, so Alex tells them to play normally for the third period. Gertie says maybe they'll play with their opposite hands in the third period. And Alex is like, we're not going to do that. And Evan apologizes, but Coop says the Evan they used to know would never have done that. Evan says he's still the Evan they used to know. And Sophie asks where he got his brand new skates. And this is the moment that I was like, ma'am, we have seen your house. You come from clearly a much better financial situation than Evan does. Evan got free hockey equipment. Hockey in general is expensive. He got free skates. He didn't want to have to bug his mom for new skates when she's already had to like pick up this summer job before she goes back to law school. Like, who are you to judge? You can say like, yeah, Evan, that was kind of a shitty thing to do. But first of all, like, he's on a team being told by an adult to do this. What is he supposed to do?
Yes, exactly.
And then second of all, to be like, and now you have new skates, and clearly that means you're the enemy. And I was like, what are you doing, Sophie? Like, agreed. Sit back down, ma'am. I'm not about it.
All agreed, wholeheartedly. All of them, especially the following episode, they're very douchey to Evan. And I was just like, this is unnecessary. Like, he was doing what the coach said, and it wasn't. Listen, he's not that serial killer kid who is doing his job, right? It's not like it were on the level of like take out banks or sweep the leg, right? Yeah, it's not that. That is not what Evan did. So like the anger they have towards him for this and the way they treat him afterward, overblown.
Yeah. So third period. Dominate scores repeatedly. Coop says maybe they should have let them keep playing with their wrong hands. But Alex says it's better to lose fairly than to be humiliated. Fries says, I think they still humiliated us, unfortunately. Yes, which is a great point. Nick says, as our GM, I've taken this team as far as I can. 0-3, not very far. And he puts the binder in the very tiny trash can.
Comically small trash can. A comically small trash can.
It's very good.
Yes, a visual gag that I truly just cackled.
Yeah. Coop says it's over and they need to win out the tournament just to get to the semifinals. So again, I need to like sit down and map out how this bracket, because with 8 teams, like everybody should make the playoffs. It's just that you'll have to play, if you come last, you'll have to play the top ranked team in your first game, and that sucks. So I guess maybe they're doing 6 teams make the final, No, like none of this makes sense. This comment is completely nonsense and it bugs me because like
I feel like
sports brackets are not like deep sports hockey knowledge that you need to have to write the show.
I don't think so, but I feel like it's very close to like Glee where it's just like, wait, but didn't you just practice for regionals to do like, I thought this goes to this and it's just like, no, none of that matters. Like it's just, they're just making it up half the time and it's just like, okay. You just kind of have to run with it, but it's definitely noticeable because you're just like, what is this tournament? How does this work?
Yeah, I need to see this bracket. Is there like a backdoor option? Like, is it like a 2-lose elimination or is it single lose elimination? Like, I want to know exactly what is happening because I have a bunch of questions, but whatever. They have to win out the rest of the tournament. Sophie says, forget it. She doesn't just want to make semis. She wants their name to be on that banner. What happened today was not okay. She knows because she's been there. She's been trying to act like she doesn't care, but she does. And next time they play, she wants to kick some dominate butt. Jace walks into the locker room. He says, I know you think I'm so... she says, I know you think I'm some big rebel, but the dyed hair and the I don't care attitude isn't all of me. Jace says he actually likes this version of her too. She says, good, because I'm a great hockey player and it's payback time. And he says, yeah, I might even like this version a little better. Which is very cute.
It's cute, except for Jace being Jace. Wasn't there for the game. Like, he was going to sit on the bench anyway, but he just refused to even be present, which is not cool. Like, you got to earn the, like, I didn't show up before, but I'm coming back here at the end and, like, I'm here with you moment. Like, you are not Bombay in D2 who is acting like a douche for a while and then comes back at one point and you accept him. You haven't been here long enough. Like, I feel like he has not earned what he's getting. And this is some like weird, like Jace privilege. I don't know. I don't know, but I don't like it.
Yeah. The reminder that he did not play this game for what happens in the next episode is pretty wild in retrospect. It's
insanity.
But he heard what his dad did, what his team did, and they aren't going to stand for it anymore, and that he wants to be a part of the team. I want to be a duck. cue the Mighty Ducks music.
And that's like, yeah.
But he's not sure how he can help. He can't shoot. And Sophie asks Alex what their next move is. I kind of wanted to see Jace, like how Jace heard about this, or was he watching in the set? Like, this felt to me like very much out of nowhere, where Jace is like, I've heard what happened and I'm here. And it's like, how did you hear? It just happened.
He was just lurking in the corner the whole time. Yeah. Like, if you actually pay attention to the scene, he's behind like an ice machine somewhere.
Yeah. But yeah, and then very last thing this episode, Alex is on the phone with the Anaheim Ducks. She says, hi, I got your number from Gordon Bombay, and I'm calling because I need some help. And my notes are all like, oh my gosh, who is it? What's going to happen? And, you know, it's fine. Same. It's probably normal level of excitement.
Yeah, well, okay, this episode, beyond the, like, frustration of Alex not helping them practice, was not bad. Again, I thought these particular two episodes were weaker than the ones.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I was very upset about the episode 7. Spirit of the Ducks Part 2.
When especially you call with the, it Spirit of the Ducks
exactly.
Part 2. Like,
and you have this thing where she's calling someone whose number she got from Bombay. Look, you're setting up expectations. This is like WandaVision all over again with the goddamn Quicksilver boner thing. It's that level of, like, I think hyping up the fan base. And it's just like, if this was a thing where you're just like, okay, maybe we lost some fans, you know, from the previous year without Emilio Estevez and stuff. Maybe this is a way to get them back for one episode and then they'll, like, watch the rest of it and catch back up. This episode did not do that. I think it teased us really, really badly. And I feel like at a certain point I just accepted, like, okay, so it's not going to be what we want it to be. But I still felt disappointed. I'm sure it probably worked for some people, but we'll discuss that when we get there, because this episode starts off, Alex is now texting this person after calling, because, you know, the best way to do something is to pester a human.
Yeah. Yeah, she arrives at dinner at, it's 8:30, dinner was at 7. Cole says it's amazing how much she ignores the schedule for someone whose job it is to keep the kids on schedule.
Again, your job, Alex, this is just a little bit.
tomorrow is the day off from tournament play to select their team captains. Why does this take a whole day? I'm so
confused. A whole day. Well, because for whatever bonkers reason, it has to be unanimous. And it's just like...
Yeah, it has to be unanimous, and... This does imply that every other day they have a hockey game. That this is the one day that they have off with no hockey game.
That's true.
Again, this fed into my earlier rant about this hockey schedule. Alex is upset about the opposite-handed play, and he's like, you're still on about that? And she's like, it was 3 hours ago.
Cole very says, Tony Vellachos energy right there of just like, that was days ago, Tony, that was an hour ago. Which, what a phenomenal moment. I think about that moment often.
Cole says the Ducks aren't delivering top tier competition, but Alex says they're going to turn it around.
Yeah,
then we get
sure.
this weird Evan Ducks confrontation. He apologizes to the Ducks. He's like holding the door open for them. They're all like, we don't need you to hold the door open. It's like this weird, awkward thing. Sophie and Jace walk by. Maya comments that it's on, and Evan's like, oh, yes. Thanks for rubbing that in. She's like, sorry, when it's on, it's on. I don't control that.
I mean, which, yes, accurate, but also, again, you all are being really douchey to him, which for me, props to Nick. Nick is a true bro because he sees the effect that it's having on Evan, and he goes to talk to him knowing his best friend is in turmoil. Nick is great. Nick is a true friend.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't say anything in the moment, but again, like, that's hard to do. I get it. So he apologizes to Evan for the door conflict. He says, I don't handle conflict well. That's why I can't watch those bake-off shows. I died. This was the funniest line in this episode for me.
Of course, for those who do not know the Great British Bake Off, it is famously non-conflict, like conflict averse.
It is technically a competition show, and yet people are routinely like helping each other out,
so nice,
giving each other extra supplies, like holding their cakes together as they're finishing up when they have
extra
time.
It is the opposite of American competition shows.
Yeah, it is.
It's delightful. I love it.
Wholesome and lovely. The Canadian Bake Off is similarly lovely. Early seasons of which were hosted by Dan Levy. So shout out for that.
That's right. You have mentioned that. I need to find this and watch it.
I will continue to talk about this show until every American has watched it because it's just very lovely. Evan says this place is incredible. He's playing the best hockey of his life, but he's not happy and worries he gave up too much for hockey. Nick says he has Evan's back, but not in front of the Ducks. Spiritually, big picture. Nick lays down some hard truths, a thunder chat, as his moms like to call it, because it's going to rain whether he likes it or not. I loved this. He said, you made these decisions. This is on you. Team dominates, probably going to win the tournament, and then you're going to get the chance to play in front of scouts, and I'm going to be the guy sitting there saying, damn, my best friend's playing for the scouts. You've given up so much, and as I see it, your only option is to go all the way. Evan says, you're right. Hockey's my girlfriend now. And Nick says, you can't date a sport.
You can't date a sport. again, Nick, to me, Nick is a true friend. And I actually like him being just like, this means something to you. Like, you're in it now, like, in it to win it. Like, go for it. Like, this is something you want, you care about. Like, you're with this team, you want to be seen by scouts. Like, go out there and dominate. Like, do it. And I like that, because other, like, I feel like a lot of other times it's just like, you did this thing, you're a douche, you're dead to us now until you conform to our ways and our wants and needs. And I feel like, again, the show has these moments where I think there's a lot of positivity, and especially, like, friendship positivity. And it was a delight to see. A delight to see. But Nick is correct. You cannot date a sport. No.
I do think that the sentiment of like, you know, this is like a big opportunity. It's okay to like focus on that and like take advantage of this chance you've been given and like play for this team and try to give it everything you've got. I sort of wish that there had been a bit more of like, I'll go talk to the Ducks and tell them that like, maybe they need to get over themselves. And like, I don't know, but
That's confrontational.
That's confrontation. That. We can't do that. Yeah. And like, I don't know, part of the whole, like, I didn't know if the whole sentiment of like, yeah, giving up everything else for hockey is like the right advice to give Evan at this moment. But the idea of like, for now at this camp, like,
yeah,
focus on hockey and like, you know, will understand that this is like what you're doing. And I don't know.
Right. I mean, I think there's levels of it, like, not, don't give up everything, but like, make the, like, if you're going to make choices, right? Like, choices and consequences. And I think this is a level of that, of just like, you made your choices. There's some consequences to it. And like, if this is what you want, you should go for it. Like, don't let us hold you back on it, which I think is something at the very least. I just feel like there obviously is a balance. I just never like it when they're just like, oh, you want to be successful? Well, you're an asshole. And it's just like,
right, yeah.
Everybody relax. Which is, yeah, it's like sometimes Evan the moral really, of these things.
Yeah, Evan really wants this. So yeah, Cole tells the team the C on the jersey is like a spotlight for the scouts. And they wait until after a few games so they can make an informed decision. And it needs to be a unanimous pick. AJ Lawrence says they all know it'll be him, so they should just vote and have the day to chill. But Evan doesn't vote for him and says that he thinks he should be captain.
Real 12 Angry Men situation, although a very different path to resolution.
Yeah. Alex is trying to get the Ducks to vote for captain. Nick says it feels like they're voting someone to be captain of the Titanic while it's sinking. Coop gives this really inspirational speech.
An amazing speech.
Yeah, he talks about when Evan left, they lost a captain and they are a rudderless ship, but it's time to re-rudder and rally. And you know that the possibilities are endless with the right captain. And Alex is like, oh, Coop, that was great. Maybe you should be captain. And he says, no, sorry. I didn't mean for that to come out so inspiring. I'm definitely not your guy.
I love that. Like, oh no, that was too inspiring. Sorry. No, please don't look at me. I also like, I think it was Fries or it's just like, who's Evan?
It's Gertie. Gertie suggests funny. They try to get Gertie. Evan back. And she goes, also, who is Evan?
Who's Evan?
Yeah. Jay suggests Sophie do it. Sophie says they can't pick a captain without getting their heads in the game. It's up to them to turn it around and no one is going to help them. This is where I thought we were going to get the like Sophie captain of the Ducks thing. Yes. And I was like here for it.
Same.
And that's not what we got.
That's not at all what we got. And it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Alex gets a text. She says he's going to help us. And Sophie says, except maybe that guy, except that's the one who's going to help us. So Alex takes the Ducks on an unsanctioned field trip in the RV.
Yeah, but she gets caught by Marnie, who, poor dumb Marnie.
Yeah, Marnie sees Alex leaving while she's getting in her step. She says 10,000 a day keeps the low bone density at bay.
I used to try to really do those 10,000 steps a day until lockdown, and then that stopped.
Yeah. Yeah, there were days in lockdown that I would like do one flight of stairs and my sports watch was like, good for you. I'm so proud of you. And
you
I was like, oh, okay,
it.
Calm
You're not
down.
Dead.
You
okay.
need to,
okay.
you need to chill. this positive encouragement just makes me feel bad when it's like, oh, you did triple digit steps today. Good for you.
This feels
oh, no. Oh no. The bar is so low now that my watch is proud of me for so little. Marnie questions if she's leaving the campus. They're not allowed to. Alex tells Marnie being a perennial underdog really takes its toll. Marnie says she feels like an underdog every day and agrees not to tell Cole, but she's terrible at keeping a secret. So, you know, we all know where this is going.
I mean, we definitely know where that's going, right? Marnie so easily manipulated, can't keep secrets. You know that at some point she's going to spill something. The part that I thought was going somewhere was where they were going when they went to Anaheim and were going to meet the Ducks. I didn't know where it was going, clearly.
Yeah. Alex takes them to the Honda Center, the home of the Anaheim Ducks. This team was formed. This building was built because of a group of kids just like you. And this is what I have to remind Alex, that the professional sports team existed prior to the Mighty Ducks. It was that they named them the Ducks. Like, the order of those things, this was not like a team that was created because of
but in the universe,
a Disney movie.
I actually think in the universe of the Mighty Ducks.
Charlie says they named a pro team after us, i.e. the pro team existed and then they gave them the name the Ducks after the kids. It's not like...
I mean, that's real life. I think the world of the Mighty Ducks.
That's a quote
changed
from the movie. I just quoted the movie edge.
I think they manipulate, but I think they reinterpreted that quote in the movie to be like, yes, there was not a Ducks team. And then we existed. And now there is the Mighty Ducks team because of what we did. I think that's the route it took, which is bonkers. Or at least that's the way they're interpreting it now. Within the universe of the Mighty Ducks. And I love the idea of a professional hockey team named after a bunch of kids from Minnesota, a Los Angeles, well, I guess California, Anaheim hockey team named after a Minnesota Pee Wee division. Like, what is happening?
And I mean, like, that has always been the canon, is, and like, you know, it's not that far off of the truth. They're named after, you know, this like successful movie franchise.
But yeah.
But yes, it is a bit wild.
That's the thing, and a successful movie franchise, which is different.
Yeah. And it is funny that I remember that scene in the movie where Charlie's like trying to impress a girl in the third one, I think, right? And he's like, they named a pro team after us. You've never heard of us. And he's like kind of shocked that she like had never heard of this like junior kid sports team, which was very funny. But yeah, Alex says Gord gave her a break glass in case of emergency phone number, that they're going to meet the head coach of the Ducks. And instead they meet Gabe, who is assistant to the assistant to the director of fan relations.
Real Dwight Schrute energy here.
Yeah. Gabe says that they can't meet the coach. Last night there was a big executive dinner with a Michelin chef who served duck. So the coach is in a PR crisis.
So, which hilarious, by the way, because she doesn't understand. It wasn't just duck. It was a whole duck.
Yeah, he didn't want to say it in front of the kids, but it's a whole duck with the head and everything.
Whole duck.
So instead he just hands them merch and quacks at them.
Yes. Okay. This is also the point. Like, look, let's just be honest here. In the lead up to what was happening, the phone call happening, the line of break glass in case of emergency, the fact that he just kept saying coach and wouldn't say the coach's name. There is, again, if you are doing this show about the Mighty Ducks, that people are going to start assuming. And I know assuming is bad, but when you write it that way and you dialogue it that way, we cannot help but assume somehow or another, is it Coach Conway? Is Charlie the coach of the Ducks?
Like, 100% what I was expecting. I talked in the Discord. I asked how many people. I was like, who do you think it is? It's got to be Charlie, right? It's got to be Charlie.
I think we all assumed that. And again, this both Disney shows. And there's this whole thing where it's just like, well, this you get for fan. No, if you write a certain way.
It's called Spirit of the Ducks. You literally named it the same thing as the episode that all the ducks were in the last time.
But don't you get it? It's thematically about that. It's infuriating. And it's one of those things where I know people online argue and it's just like, oh, fan entitlement. It's not fan entitlement. When you write something a certain way, it's purposeful. And it's like foreshadowing. It is writing 101. It sets expectations and you're doing it on purpose. So if you're trying to, it's like that you can't curve ball something. And it's this, to go to Game of Thrones, spoilers for Game of Thrones, I guess, you can't set up a story arc for a character, like let's say Jaime Lannister, and be directing it this way. And it's going down a particular path. You're setting up like what the story is going to be. And I'm pretty sure in the books, it's still going to be that because one person is a good writer and the other two are trash. And then all of a sudden at the end, curveball, and just be like, nope, he was wanted to bang his sister to the end. And you're just like, what are you talking about? Like, that is not interesting. That doesn't make sense for the character. It sets up where an expectation is, and it logically flows that way. What you're doing is purposeful. Like, you clearly thought, like, wrote it in a way that people thought that was going to happen. And what we got was different, and maybe worked for some people. But I think when you're doing it that way, it's just very upsetting for how it ends up not panning out.
Yeah, and, like, again, we get to this conversation of, like, who is the show for? Because, like, I will admit, I did not recognize these three. I get that
at the
people
end.
Who are true hockey fans
yes.
know who they are, probably. I am, like, I watch hockey as, like, a group activity. I don't tend to do it by myself. I don't, like, follow hockey very well. So, to me, this was like, oh, well, at least it's not nothing. That was kind of cool. But, like, it's still, like, that was my response, as opposed to going into this episode, I was like, this is gonna be amazing. And so, you know, like, just, it didn't meet, don't build it up. This would have been much cooler if it had had less buildup, to be honest. If it was, like, name the episode a different thing. Don't, like, tie Bombay into this so that we think that it's, like, got to be related to that original crew. Like, if you lead to it differently and then it's a, like, like, if you don't set up this expectation and then at the end it's like, oh, by the way, we like run into some real ducks and like get to, like, that would be cool. But don't, I don't know. Yeah, the way you set this up, I feel like they clearly wanted us to think one thing and then delivered a different thing. And it was like, that different thing would have been awesome if it wasn't the fact that we were thinking it was going to be the thing that, like, the fans thing, have, yeah, like, most wanted from this franchise, yes. I feel like.
100%.
And I get that, like, you know, maybe you can't get Charlie, but don't make us think that you did then.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. Yep. And I think that's part of the issue here. But meanwhile, while all this is going on, yeah, Evan is making his case to the Dominate team about why he should be captain.
Yeah, AJ is making his speech and tells them about his shooting percentage is scary high. He can bench press all of their parents. He saw Sidney Crosby at the airport once and they gave each other the, you know, sup nod.
Nod.
Yeah, he says it's a no-brainer. And Evan says it was also a no-brainer last year when he got cut from his old team. And then they ended up begging to have him back. It was a no-brainer when he started a new team. They weren't supposed to win a single game. They ended up making it to the state finals. He says, it's the only reason I'm still here, because I want it more than anyone else. I loved this. He says that if they are basing it off of talent alone, he stands no chance against AJ. He doesn't need any of us for him to be great. But Evan says he can only succeed if they all succeed, and he will never stop fighting for all of them. The team votes, and they all vote for Evan except AJ, so it's a stalemate. And the team suggests an endurance competition to see who wants it more. They say,
I expected Jeff Probst to come out.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, okay, hold on to this poll and see how long.
Yes, exactly. The moment they said that, I was like, oh, is Probst here?
Yeah. They said, let's take it to the ice, or maybe we bring the ice to us. I got so excited at this moment.
And the ice bath challenge, right? Yeah. Like, that's what they're going to end up doing. I will say that Evan's case is strong. And I think even when he was just like, I should be captain, it made sense to me. Because it is true, like, a captain has to lead a team, not just play for themselves. And I think that's AJ's thing, is that he's a very good player, but he just plays for himself. And you can't lead a team.
Guy Germain was never, you know, Adam Banks was never the captain of the Ducks. It was always Charlie, because Charlie was the one that could rally them, and it's funny because it's very true, right? Like, the captain is the one that, like, you know, brings the team together, makes decisions for the team, represents the team in conversations with the ref or whatever. And so it's not necessarily about who is the best player on the ice, but it's like who is willing to step up into that leadership position for the team. And so I think that that's really important.
Yeah. And also, he's done it before, right? Like, he basically led a team before, and I feel like experience is vital when it comes to some of that stuff.
Yeah.
Especially leadership experience. More totally. Things should, and you put a person into a position of leadership, they should have experience in leadership. Don't just promote them, because they've been here a while.
Wait, sure you mean you shouldn't elect a man to mayor of a large metropolitan city just because he owns 2 bagel shops?
Yeah, like, who knew?
God, oh, who God. Would do that?
Who would do that?
It's fine. I'm going to stop ranting about municipal politics eventually.
I mean, listen, LA is suffering the same effing situation right now, but whatever.
Yeah. Have you ever done an ice bath?
No. No, thank you.
Yeah. So I am 100% convinced that... because I've done them for tournaments. When you have like a multi-day tournament, sometimes you go back to the hotel, you do an ice bath, and then you like feel better for the second day of the tournament. Because again, I'm playing 4-ish games every day. So it's a lot. I am convinced the science is like very much like inconclusive, if not just out and out on ice baths in terms of recovery. However, I am convinced that the placebo effect is strong. And the placebo effect works even if you know it's the placebo effect, which is just a truly wild thing that our brains do, where they're like, I know this doesn't do anything, and yet here I am torturing myself by sitting in a bath of ice, so it must do something. So I'm convinced that it's that. And do you know what? Good enough for me. Like, if I feel better the next day, regardless, it doesn't matter why I feel better, as long as I feel better. So I'm very, like, pro ice bath. This is very fun because, like, I would rock at this. I have, like, swam.
Well, you're Canadian.
Yeah. I have swam in glacier-fed lakes, and there was a situation where we were doing, like, challenges, and the challenge, I stayed in the lake the longest. It was like who, but it turned out that the challenge was who could stay in for the like unknown amount of time and like closest to without going over kind of situation.
Oh, interesting.
So I didn't win because I beat everybody else, but the time was like shorter than the amount of time I stayed in the lake.
That's a nonsense competition, by the
way. Yeah, it was dumb. This was like high school, whatever. What happened was I got out of the lake and my entire pinky was white. And I was like,
went to the hospital.
No, I just like rubbed it over a fire for a while. And like the canoe instructor was like, yeah, that happens. You just have bad circulation. Like it'll come back. It's fine. Similarly, I was doing ice baths again at Canadian Nationals with a teammate of mine who was underage. We'd had to get like special permission for her to play on the adult team because she'd skipped a grade. And so she was in university, but she was 17 at the time. So she was in the ice bath and she stayed in for too long because we were like timing it. So we're like, okay, everyone does 10 minutes. We were going in partners because it's easier when you're like sharing in the misery, but my partner had got out early. So she came in to like finish out my time and then did her own 10 minutes. So she stayed in for too long. And then she gets out and she's shivering to the point that one of my teammates who is a medical doctor like stuck her in a hot shower for a while, and then like she was supposed to sleep on the floor of our hotel room. She like kicked somebody out of the bed and like put her in the bed, and she's like warming her up basically to avoid her having like hypothermia. So those are my ice bath related stories.
None of this encourages me to ever do an ice bath in any way, shape, or form. This is all horrible.
I mean, you're not built for it. My people are bred for this.
Correct, which is why when this challenge was put forth, and it's like, Evan's from Minnesota,
he
is from Fort Lauderdale, there's no way contest. AJ wins this. Like, even beyond it being a TV show, I'm like, oh yeah, AJ screwed. Like, there's no way he lasts longer than a dude from Minnesota, which, shocker of shocks, that's the way it turns out. Like, he loses. Yeah. But yeah, I will say, actually, though, on the placebo effect thing, I think there's something to be said about the fact that, like, if you like the unconscious mind is extremely powerful, especially like psychologically, right? Like you don't always know what the unconscious mind is thinking. However, if you even if you're just like, oh, I know this is the placebo effect and I'm still doing it and there's a result, it's because your conscious mind is acknowledging that it's a placebo, but your unconscious mind is still thinking it's placebo because you're still doing it. If you truly didn't think it would work, you wouldn't have done it. But the fact that you're doing it, your unconscious brain definitely thinks it is. So that's, I think, why the placebo effect still happens, even if you think it is, because if you're doing that thing, your brain to a level still thinks it's real because you're doing it. Otherwise, you wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, so I think it's like, the cognitive dissonance, right? Out. Like, why would I be suffering if this had no effect? So it must have an effect, right?
It must have just mean something.
Yeah.
But ice baths mean nothing. That sounds insane. Don't do that. Don't freeze yourself to death.
I mean, they're fine. And like, I don't know if you're...
Yeah, she's fine now. Your poor 17-year-old friend.
Yeah. It's fine. She also ran into a pole while playing that same tournament and got tested for a concussion. But she was fine. She bounced right off. The pole was padded. It was one of those
sacrificing
like,
your body the way only children's hockey can.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she sort of like bounced off and it was fine. Yeah, I was actually playing with her last week and she was running and almost ran into a goalpost. And I haven't yelled that loud in a while. I'm like, no! I had her life once again flashed before my eyes. But yeah. Anyway, so Alex says she feels like she let the ducks down. Koo points out how close they are to professional ice, which is pretty cool. Nick mentions the hats. He says they're one size fits most, baby. Sam ate 4 puck cakes, so he's fixed. Alex leaves, and Gertie asks if she's getting them keychains. This is when Sophie finds Jace outside watching his tragic meltdown that happened. We find out that it was last summer's showcase game at the Honda Center with pro scouts and college scouts. Biggest game he's played in, tie game, 15 seconds left. He tried to clear it out of the zone, but he whiffed it, and he ended up scoring on his own goal. Jay says he just cracked after all those years under all that pressure. Sophie says Cole isn't his coach anymore. It's different with them. Jay says he can't breathe inside there. There's too many bad memories. Sophie says maybe they should make some good memories, and then they kiss.
Sure. I don't know how I feel about this Sophie J situation, personally. It's just my take here.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things where I was like, I don't know how we're supposed to feel about it. Because, like, Evan is still arguably our main character. And, like, he's obviously, like, dealing with his own thing right now and moving on. And it's like, okay, is this just the point that we're getting to? Where, like, Sophie's going to have this new thing. And Evan and Sophie are just going to be friends. And, like, okay, that's fine. But this is all very, like, are we supposed to be rooting for them? Are we not?
Right.
I don't know. I think, like, it's kind of cute. I like that, you know, I did like the whole moment of Jace being like, yeah, I like this side of you better. Like, so I feel like they've sort of laid the groundwork for this. They have a level of understanding. I'm okay with it, but I don't really know how I'm supposed to feel about it.
I think it's just because of my bias against Jefferson here. And because of, like, dude is just getting too much without, in my opinion, it being earned. And I think that's maybe what it is. I guess out of all the things, he's earned the relationship with Sophie the most because they are bonding and he is opening up to her, which is a good key to having a relationship. So
yeah, it turns out.
I guess that's something.
Yeah. Marnie hints calls the captain's picks for some of the teams. He asks about the Ducks. She says, I have no knowledge of their whereabouts.
No totally knowledge.
Cool, Marnie.
And yep, he's that's like, the way you opened that statement.
Yeah, he's like, I just wanted to know if they picked a captain. So she ends up trying to say that they were taking a long run and eventually confesses that Alex snuck them off campus.
Yes, but doesn't know where because Alex did not tell her, which is probably the smartest thing Alex has done this season.
Yep. Alex talks to Gabe. And this is when I noticed all the photos in the background were from the movie. And I was like, okay, wait, what is happening?
I know. I like that. This scene I like because obviously there's a lot of acknowledgement about the past. You hear the theme as he's like showing, like you see all the pictures of the former players and stuff, which I thought that there was just a really big picture of Russ for whatever reason, but it actually becomes like very relevant, which I really like. So, like, this scene was touching, and I did like, because this is him, like, Gabe explaining the title of the episode, right? Like, what it means to be a duck, what the true spirit of the ducks are. And, like the sentiment. But again, I would have liked a lot more if they didn't set up an expectation.
Yeah. So Gabe tells her that he was a bit of a weirdo growing up. He says, I played the recorder until I was a little bit too old. But when I found out that the professional sports team that I loved was named after a bunch of misfit kids, it meant the world to me. He talks about how the Bash Brothers had no fear. Russ Tyler invented a whole new way to hit a hockey puck, just a kid in the stands who didn't play by the rules, so they bent the rules. They let him take the puck, put it on its side, and the knuckle puck took flight. And they have the puck that Russ scored with in the Junior Goodwill Games, which happened in California, so that makes sense.
Yep.
And the players touch it for luck before they take the ice. They won because they decided to look at things different, sideways. Being a duck was never about trying to fit in or get something big to help you. It's about thinking small. That's what the ducks are about. Find that weirdo, awesome sideways for each of those kids. You want the coach of the ducks to help you. You are the coach of the ducks, which I thought was a great line.
I think it is really great. I think that the theme of that and that, like, you are the coach is so, so good. I just wish that they wrote Alex doing more actual coach stuff. Which involves the practicing. I feel like that's the thing, is that when you look at the old movies, Bombay had such a good balance of having fun, but also playing hockey, which is sort of the point. And I feel like that's just missing there, right? Also, I love that they acknowledge that, like, is the knuckle puck a legal move? I don't know. It's a very, like, well, there's nothing in here that says a dog can't play basketball, right?
Yeah,
like,
you can totally use a lasso on the ice. It's fine. There's no rules
exactly.
against that. Yeah.
Which I love that. I love the acknowledgement.
Yeah, I thought it was great. And I totally love this sentiment. This is what this is all about. It's like, yeah, this group is a bunch of misfits. And so, like, take what makes them special, take what they do well, and, like, use that to your advantage. And maybe it's not the quote unquote, like, way to do things, but they can still be good. But, like, that needs to be coupled with, like, some hard work. At the same time,
agreed.
It's true. Like, that can't be, like, suddenly they're going to come out. So I'm still kind of hoping in the next episode that we get some sort of idea that they are, like, practicing in any way. I assume they are. I assume it's just happening off screen. I just sort of wish that there had been, like, a single sentence of, like, you know, we're getting up and we're practicing and we're trying hard to, like, put the things that we are using to our advantage as a part of like the framework of us also like trying to learn to be better hockey players. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's the stuff that's missing. That's the real key components. And I feel like in a movie, you can make a lot of arguments to like, oh, well, you know, we weren't able to fit that in because of the runtime or whatever. This is a TV show. There's definitely stuff you could have cut down on to include like a little bit of the training stuff and a little bit of the montage or something. And we get a tiny bit of a montage here, but not quite enough because Alex essentially returns with this information.
First of all, the ducks are rapping, which I thought was
I love that, by the way.
Yeah,
Coop rapping was chef's kiss.
Yeah, I wrote down the beginning of it. Someone call the coach, come tell him to come notice. We've lost faith, we've gone hopeless. Nick Gaines, everyone knows the name. Mighty Ducks, we're gonna change the game. I was like, this is great. This like little back and forth that they had, it was great.
It was very shades of Troy and Abed when they did that. Childish Gambino, well, Donald Glover. Doing a rap, you know, in one of the Troy and Abed segments, and I thought that was really great. We know Coop sings. He's a professional singer. I think he's been on Broadway. He sang last season. He's in a musical, I think 13 the musical. So like he has experience here. So this is really fun to showcase the actor's skill sets, you know. I thought was really cool.
I feel like Coop has really stepped up this season and like been more impactful, and I'm like missing the other kids that didn't come back a bit less now than I was at the beginning. Like now that we have, I'm not like super sold on like Fries and Jace, but Gertie at least seems delightful. And I love that she's like paired up with Sam and they're gonna do their thing. And Coop, I think, is sort of like being a bit more of that like heart along with Nick. So yeah, I'm still sad that we didn't get them, but I think that Coop is like doing a lot to make up for that.
I agree. I think part of what it is too is that it's allowing the characters that are here to breathe a little bit more and to like kind of grow a little bit more than we got to see them. Because even Maya, I feel like, is so much deeper this season than she was last season. Mm-hmm. I think everyone's getting a chance to kind of expand who they are a bit, and I think it's working really well for those characters, especially. So I definitely get what you're saying. And shining star, I think, for me is definitely Coop, who has been emerging. And I think like there's a great character arc there, because when you think back to who he was that kid who was just in VR the whole time. You couldn't connect to other humans because he was just playing video games. And here he is inspiring people. Here he is like feeling emotions with others and like that empathy. I think that's really great when you think about where that character started and where he is now. I think it's honestly amazing character growth and character work. Whether they intended to or not, they did it.
So we see Evan and AJ are still in the ice baths. Evan says he sacrificed too much this summer and he's not letting it go to waste, which is kind of a sad like thought, but I get it. AJ says it's stupid and gets out, and Evan wins. And the like celebration of Evan in this moment was quite something.
Yes.
Alex is on the ice with the team. She holds up a puck and she asks what this is. They're like, it's a puck. And she's like, it's a knuckle puck. She says the original Ducks were challenged just like they were by teams better than them. So they had to look at the game sideways, and Alex shoots the puck.
She shoots a knuckle puck.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it actually gets in, which is wild that Alex did that.
Yeah. Coop says it was everywhere and nowhere. Alex tells them to find their inner knuckle puck and asks who's ready to change things up. And this was like, I got excited for this, because this is classic Ducks of like, what's
this
the thing that makes you special?
This is very Shades of D2. Yes. This is very much that, and I liked it. It's like when Hans was like on the ice trying to like, he described all their skills, right? Talking about the speed and all that stuff. Like, I really felt like this was very D2, and that delighted me.
Yeah. So Fries is target practice for his brother, so they're going to turn that into his advantage, which I think means that they're going to shoot pucks at him and they're going to ricochet off of his body into the net.
So is that
bouncing off? Because at first I was like, oh, is this guy going to be our new goalie? Is that what's happening? But no, it's that I think they're like scoring after they hit him, basically. It bounced off of him into the net, I think.
I thought it was just he's going to be like he's there to like take hits and like keep on going. Like,
yeah,
or again, it's like the Rocky maneuver, a punch defense in the face, but you're still standing. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, so I don't actually know which direction this is going. I was a bit confused because it sort of seemed Because when at one point when it went in, he was like, oh, it went in. And he seemed like that was the point. So anyway.
Very weird if that's the case, because I don't, again, what are the rules of hockey?
I mean, it can. It just has to go in the net. Like, that's fine. But it's
wild.
I don't know that that's like a really solid strategy.
Yeah, because otherwise, like, if you get some air on a puck, someone just like slaps it into
yeah, like net. That'll first of all hurt. Second of all, like, aiming that is going to be yeah. tricky. Yeah. She says to Gertie and Sam that they are fearless. They're the smash siblings.
Love it.
Meet in the middle, make a sandwich, take them down. And I love it so much.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah. I love this idea that like Gertie, who is like, you know, lived up with like the moose and the grizzly bears and whatever. And she's like, eh, like other youth hockey, it's fine.
Yeah, like I've taken down moose before. Let me take this
down,
cookie, you know.
And I dig it. Yeah. Although the name Smash Siblings maybe leaves something to be desired.
Yeah, because like that's the thing. I do ship them, and if they are Smash Siblings, I don't. If you're shipping them,
see, I'm not on board.
The words aren't great.
I love them as a duo. I don't think they need to be like romantically linked. But I still like siblings is just kind of awkward. I want like the terror twosome or something like some. I don't know. I feel like there's just like other
options. I am definitely shipping it. For one, I'm always gonna be pro any sort of like interracial relationship. And so like I very much shipping those two. But again,
but not Jason Sophie.
Well, that's sure, but that's different. There's a lot I can get into here, but like the Jason Sophie are very close. I guess do we know what this is gonna be a weird question? Do we know what Jason's mom is? Because like
no.
he's very tan.
I'm
brown, but like so it makes me wonder what's going on there. And there's a thing I
but
will say.
Dutch Camille is very white. So.
Very white. We're getting into a thing here, though, because I think that's the classic where when it's interracial relationships, it's always just a minority, you know, a person of color, a female person of color, mm-hmm. and a white dude, and like that's what you see a lot because that's quote unquote acceptable. But you don't see, and especially you don't see a lot of black men and white women because that it makes white people mad. So any version of that happening, I'm always going to encourage, but like, yeah, it's the Will Smith thing. I believe this is like famously said, at this point where I believe it was Hitch, where it was, him and I think Eva Mendes in it. Mm-hmm. And they originally was not going to be Eva Mendes. It was going to be a white actress and this with the studio or tested negatively. And so they changed it to Eva Mendes, who is Hispanic. And so even Will Smith, who that's a whole other discussion, people were still like, no. And it's just like, interesting. Now, this is a long time ago, but clearly echoes of this still happening. Anyway, long way to say, there's a number of reasons I ship Sam and Gertie, and I would love to see that. But Smash Siblings really makes that a problematic system.
Yeah, it's true. I am trying to quickly look up. I was sort of assuming that the actor who plays Gertie might be First Nation, but that is maybe just my assumption that she's from Alaska, and her last name is Anderson Song, so but she doesn't really have much of an online presence, so I'm not finding the answer to that very quickly, but
I guess that makes sense. They are young.
Yeah. So that was a curiosity of mine, but I don't actually know the answer to that, so anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, back to actual Ducks.
Yeah.
We got who wants to score a goal.
Which we've seen before.
Sort of, right? I think it's interesting because I was trying to think about this because
or no, it was the opposite. It was that Russ was the
Russ
goalie.
Russ was dressed as Goldberg, in Goldberg's uniform. And then I believe that is the knuckle puck that they're talking about because the problem was that Russ could never use the knuckle puck because Iceland knew it was coming and would like block it or get
they wouldn't
down.
Like let him get it off. Yeah, because exactly. It like takes a second to set it up to like set it
correct.
On the side like that.
So they had him dressed as Goldberg and they passed it back to him, but it wasn't Goldberg, it was Russ. So he was able to get the shot in. So like, it's not, it has sort of happened, but not quite. So like, yeah. I was like, okay, that's interesting. It's sort of there, but like different enough, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah. Alex tells Sophie that she's their sharpshooter and has her try the knuckle puck to switch things up. Which I'm like, if she's your sharpshooter, I don't think she needs the knuckle puck, but sure, whatever. No. It's fine.
Yeah.
Sophie then nominates Jace for captain. Nick laughs. Yeah. So Bonkers. He says the captain should be the one who loves the game more than anyone here, that it took a lot of guts for Jace to step back on the ice. Life threw him a knuckle puck, but he's here. It's obvious how much he loves the game. And they end up all agreeing to it. And it is a bit wild.
Insane to me. Because first off, it's not about who loves the game the most. It is who can lead a team. And Jace has continually not been part of this team. And just because he showed up yesterday and was like, I want to be a part of the team, doesn't now mean he can lead that team. It is insane that he was nominated and they all gave the thumbs up. And even worse, Melissa, do you know what the worst part is?
No.
Ducks on three? What are you doing? You quack and then say go Ducks. You don't do Ducks on three. Immediately, the captain should have been revoked after that moment. I was like, how dare you? If you're going to lead this team, you need to know how they do it. And that is not how it's done.
Right. Yeah. Very fair. Yeah. When have we ever heard Ducks on three before? I don't know that we ever have.
I believe it was in D3 specifically, I think Orion didn't want them to quack or something. And they were like, what? What's happening here? Or no, maybe it was D2 where Bombay or someone was very much just like, oh, no, it's not quack, 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 go Ducks. It's just like something else.
I think it is the third one. It definitely is. I'm trying to think if they've ever said Ducks on three. But yeah, that's a great point. Then we get Gabe says, I found some friends who said they'd scrimmage with you. And then one of the guys says, how cute, mini ducks. Let's see what you got. And so we get three NHL players. I looked up these names.
Yes.
Excuse my mispronunciation. I am not someone who knows who these people are in real life, but Trevor Zegras, Troy Terry, and Max Jones, current Anaheim Mighty Ducks players. I looked them up to make sure to see if any of them were Canadian. They are not. These are three American hockey players. They all currently play for the Anaheim Ducks. So this is very cool. And it is like, it did sort of feel like, this is awesome. I wish that we hadn't been expecting the other thing, because I think this would have been more impactful if we weren't. And I think that for people who know hockey, I bet this was awesome.
This also then questions, though, who is the sport? Is it for kids who are very into hockey to the point that they know professional players at this point? Maybe. But it was a very just like, okay, again, like I'm now wondering, like, when you do stuff like this, who is the draw here? And again, listen, they did their best on their line reads. It was fine. But it is one of those moments where I'm just like, yes, you are for certain real professional sports players, because your reading of lines is difficult.
Yeah. And then it was funny because we got this like little montage and all it did was showcase how bad these kids are at hockey. I was like watching Sophie shoot the puck and I was like, oh, that looks so much worse than when the other guy does it. Like, I was like, oh, well, yeah, man, you are not. No, this, we
this
lost.
Is the coaches versus the kids all over again.
Yeah. We lost Logan, our kid who could actually play hockey. And like, it is showing that none of these kids know what they're doing. And like, even Sophie, who is supposed to be good at this, I was like watching her shoot and I was like, oh, that doesn't look very good. This like back and forth, I was like, oh, this montage is not doing you any favors. I'm sorry.
Yeah. They tried to edit it very clearly as best as they can, but it's really hard to edit around that.
Yeah. And then we get, I don't know how we feel about this, but Cole confronts Alex about taking the kids off campus as a liability issue. Alex tells Cole that Jace is their captain and sometimes you have to break the rules to get where you want to go, and shows him the video of Jace, which I actually thought was this very cute moment. And I was like,
moment.
Here for it.
Yes.
And then I was very suddenly not here for it.
Not here for it. It was such a weird moment because it was, I think we've been talking about this. Are they building to it?
Yeah.
And I just didn't feel it. I didn't feel it in this moment. I liked the Jace part of it, right? Like, she has accomplished something that he clearly cares about his son. There's never been a question about that. And his happiness over seeing this, him hugging her, I think was all great.
Yeah, he hugs her and I was like, oh, cool. They're like not doing the thing that I was afraid they were about to do.
And then they did. And then they did. I just, I'm not into it. Like, I just don't feel it because I don't think it's there yet, one. But also, and this is more of a minor thing-ish, but like, professionally speaking, highly unethical. She is your employee. And so you are hitting now a level of just like, ooh, don't love this. So like that, I'm just like, it's a little problematic. There's a couple things that I was not feeling about that kiss.
Yeah. And also like, wasn't she with Bombay? Like whatever happened with that?
Right. I know.
That's just like not a thing that's gone. They're fine. I don't know.
Mickey and Rose all over again.
Yeah, I just didn't need it.
No, did not need it.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, he kisses her. And this whole episode was directed by Josh Duhamel, by the way, which was interesting.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, I think directing wise, no complaints, but yep. that was a weird moment.
But yeah, there we go. That's the end of Spirit of the Ducks Part 2.
I know. I can't get over it,
but that's what they named it.
I can't either. Like, that's to me, it does make this episode the weakest of the season for me. I think that there were things in there that I think I liked the conceit of. But, like, yeah, I think you really hit the nail on the head here about, like, how they could have set it up to have it work. But because they set it up certain ways, it really just affected it, I think, in a negative light for me. So like the episode really took a hit because of that, which is a shame, because like thus far I've been feeling really good about the series. I'll probably feel better again next episode. We got three to the end we're coming up on here.
Yeah.
And so I think just also time-wise, we're not gonna get like when are they gonna practice? Because if it is a showcase, there's like two episodes before that. So like I don't know what's happening here.
Yeah, so I guess we're sort of assuming the last episode is gonna be the showcase. I'm assuming we're like about to get into next episode is probably like a game, their next game and their first win. And then maybe the episode after that is sort of like the semifinals and then the finals.
That would probably make the most sense, right?
Yeah.
They'll probably actually have to see a series of games next episode in order for
sort of like we did last season
with the semifinals. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it doesn't feel like we have that much time left for them to like have this meteoric rise from the bottom, but
right.
We're sort of
that
assuming
hasn't the Ducks finals before.
Is the Ducks versus Dominate, right? Like that's.
So that's what I thought the semifinals was going to be that, and then the showcase we thought against Team Canada was going to be Evan back on the Ducks somehow. I don't know how or what any of that shakes out to, but I guess we'll find out, because it's going to be weird also with Evan's story. Like, where is Evan's story going to end this season? That's the other part I'm kind of worried about.
Yeah, and like there are maybe some clues in the episode titles that I won't mention because I know you're very spoiler.
Yeah, no spoilers, Melissa.
Yeah.
There's a whole podcast about this on Mediapedia. Yeah, check it out, the season premiere of Mediapedia, in which we talk about spoilers.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes. But yeah, we've got three episodes left. Yeah, I don't know. There's been no word of like renewal or anything yet, but I imagine we won't get that for a while regardless.
Yeah, I think that usually comes probably after a season wraps, unless you're like Game of Thrones and they're just like, fuck it, just season two. Yeah. Why not pour more money? But yeah, I mean, there's a lot really with Disney. I mean, they have money, so like, why not throw it there? They're, as we, I think, I don't know if you saw this, but we all, if listeners probably know at this point, Melissa and I also do another podcast called Who-A, in which we're covering the Doctor Who series. We started with the Christopher Eccleston era, and we've been moving on upward, currently the David Tennant stuff. But Disney has just bought stake into Doctor Who and like tripled their budget for the coming season. So,
yeah, it's true.
Holy crap. So they have money.
Yeah, so, you and I are going to be talking about Disney stuff for a while.
A while. That's the world we're living in. It's Disney dominated. So before we close out this week, though, as we do this season, we're going to end on an icebreaker. And this week's icebreaker is, what's the weirdest food you've ever Ian. Melissa, is this poutine? Is poutine the weirdest thing you've ever had to eat?
No, poutine is normal, and I don't understand. I mean, poutine is French fries, gravy, and cheese curds. Like, I don't, like, all of that sounds amazing. I don't get why it would be weird in any way.
Okay, here's the thing. I agree with you. All of it individually sounds delicious, and poutine, at the end of the day, is, in fact, quite delicious. Mm-hmm. But on paper, it can be weird, right? It also, I think, is what you're used to eating. Like, peanut butter, I think, is one of those things, too, that in other countries is a weird thing that Americans eat. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think it's all relative. That said, I'm not knocking poutine. Poutine is delicious and amazing. But it's like, someone might consider it weird. There's, like, stuff I haven't tried, but, like, one of my friends literally pours ranch dressing on their pizza, like, covers it practically in ranch dressing. And I'm like, well, yeah. Why? Like, that would, ruin the taste of the pizza.
I think I've done that. Some sort of, like, dipping sauce, like, salad dressing type thing on pizza.
I like my pizza as is. But yeah, any weird stuff for you? I'm trying to think of like what my weird thing is.
Yeah, it's hard to think about like what the like weird thing, because my mind immediately goes to like times that I've traveled. So food that's like not inherently weird, it's just like different for me, right? And so when I was in Tanzania, we ate a lot of ugali, which is like essentially cornstarch and water. And the thing that makes it weird is that it looks like mashed potatoes. And so your brain, every time you go to eat it, is tricked into thinking, oh, this is going to be delicious. This is going to be amazing mashed potatoes. And it's just this like incredibly flavorless, like meant to be filling and like comes along with other things, but it's not actually tasty in any way. So I developed this like deep-seated vendetta against it as a food because it was not good. And every time I went to eat it, I thought it would be good. So I don't know. That was like kind of the first thing that came to mind. But again, it's like, depending on where you live, that's not like weird for most people. It was just like unusual for me because it was like food disguising itself as other food.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of that, right? Like weird is relative probably. I mean, for me, I've eaten a lot of stuff. I love seafood. I love sushi. One of the things that I actually really enjoy, but I know like my wife and Josh do not like, and whenever we used to go to a restaurant called Sugarfish out in LA, very popular, amazing place, love it, miss it. And I know there's a Sugarfish here, it's not the same, guys. but like one of the fish they sometimes serve is like, I think it's called monkfish, and has a very particular taste and texture, and Robin and Josh do not like it, and I would just eat theirs because I liked it, but it is like a weird one for them. So there's like stuff along those veins that I think is like odd, right? Like I've tried iguana before in South America.
Like chicken feet. I've had chicken feet.
Chicken feet, frog legs as well. I had frog legs for the first time in Indiana, and I was actually like, this is pretty good. They are a particular taste. I don't know how often I would order them just because, again, when you look at it, you're like, ooh, that's weird. Mm-hmm. But very much I do think, though, like they always say, like, tastes like chicken. For sure it does. Frog legs 100% taste like chicken.
Yeah, I will say probably something that's like weird. That it's not like the food, but like the way in which I eat it is I frequently just like microwave eggs for breakfast.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. Sometimes I'm busy and I'm just trying to make a breakfast wrap. And so I like, you know, take a fork to a couple eggs in a bowl and I stick it in the microwave and then I stick it in a tortilla and then I like walk out the door and I eat that. It's so 2 minutes. It's not like 2 minutes a weird
scrambled eggs.
It's not like a weird food thing, but it is. But you see, scrambling eggs is like an active thing. I can stick that in the microwave and walk away for 2 minutes.
I keep getting ready. Yes, but you also are then eating microwaved eggs.
Yeah. So maybe that's my answer.
Let me. There's a thing I believe. What is it? Is it just egg? There's a thing out there where it's just like an egg that you do like it's prepared. And it's like you microwave it and it's like egg on the go. I recommend that for you. Maybe that's a little bit better because at least it's like prepared.
What do you mean? Like it's like you buy this like egg that you then microwave?
Yes.
Okay.
So check that out.
I mean, how is that different than what I'm already doing?
because someone else prepared it properly, and I don't know, it's there's stuff in there. It just feels a little bit different. Microwaving egg is weird to me.
Yeah, no, I admit that it's weird. That's why I brought it up in this weird food segment.
Yeah, there's a lot of like in South America again, like a lot of like fish they cook a lot, like whole fishes and stuff. So I've eaten a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which like fish heads is the thing I've had, and people are just like gross, and I'm like yeah, kind of. Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything like super duper weird, but nothing's coming to mind. I'm a type who always also will just try a thing. It's very rarely where I won't like try a food just because I'm curious to see what it's like. Every now and then I won't, because if I know I won't like it, this might be weird to some people, it might be gross to some people, but like a big food that I like, and I know also Southern, it's quintessential Southern, is of course like chicken liver and like liver and gizzards. Huge thing. Love that. I'm a big fan. My family makes like a curried chicken, like liver and gizzards, and it's just it's one of my favorite foods. My wife is grossed out every time, but I'm just like, I love it, it's delicious for me. So that's one that people might find odd.
My I'm trying to remember how he's related to me distantly, like great uncle, I think he's my grandmother's brother. Came to visit when I was like a kid growing up from England. And I remember us going up, and this guy like sucked on many levels. He was like not a friendly dude, but we went out for dinner, and he literally for dinner ordered liver and onions. And my brother and I were like, see, this man sucks. Like, this is all the proof we need that this guy is terrible. He eats liver and onions by choice when we go out to a restaurant. He could have had a burger. He could have had so many other things. And this man ordered liver and onions. And that is all we needed to know at like 8 and 10, that we were like out on this man.
Well, him and I guess, would have had some great culinary adventures, it sounds like.
I mean, yeah, I don't know if, like, British liver and onions is, like, in any way similar to, like, it's chicken liver not. Curry. It's probably, like, very different.
It is very. I've had Middle Eastern style where it's, like, cooked in a garlic sauce and stuff, and that's also really good, but yeah. Pate is something, too, right? Isn't that also, like, some sort of liver?
Yeah, it's, foie gras is like also liver.
Yeah, maybe it's that I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah. I was watching another show for upcoming PSR podcast, and they serve sweetbread to a child. And I was like, you know, that's pancreas, right? Why are you feeding pancreas to a child?
Not as much into that. I've had that before. Cause I try stuff. Same thing with, what is it called? Like blood sausage or something.
Yeah. I will not stop hearing the end of blood sausage and how I should give it a chance. And I don't like it. Black pudding.
Black pudding. Right?
Like, I'm not.
Yep.
Or there's also white pudding. I don't know
that one.
I mean, I think it's basically the same thing. It's just like more like fat in it, maybe. Anyway.
Haggis.
Yeah. There's some weird food out there.
Yeah. There is some weird food. But yeah, that'll wrap it up for us this week. But. We got three left, down to some finals and semifinals, and then a showcase. Really excited to see how it all turns out. They're in that order, too.
It's finals, semifinals, showcase.
They really are just shaking it up this season. Really hoping still that something might get pulled out at the end, and maybe we'll get some cameos or something. Because we got that first one at the beginning of the season, but I really love a little bit more. Just a poor, poor soul asking for more nostalgia, please.
Joshua Jackson wore his jersey for Halloween. You can't tell. And
did he?
Yeah, he wore his Charlie Conway jersey for Halloween, and then tweeted about running into a kid who was also dressed up as Charlie Conway for Halloween, and then had made his day. And I was like, dude, you were talking about this franchise right now. Just go on the show,
please. Yeah, I mean, again, there's like reasons why like last season it didn't happen, but like, come on, guys.
Come on, we want it so badly.
I know. All right. Well, stick with us as we see whether or not we get a miracle on ice in the coming weeks. And until then, we'll talk to you next time. Quack, quack.
It's time to take your body care routine to the next level. Introducing Osea's bestseller body care set, the perfect companion for your summer travels. This four-piece kit transforms dry skin to silky, soft, and glowing. It features travel sizes of Osea's best-selling Undaria Algae Body Oil and Body Butter, clinically proven to improve skin elasticity, along with their anti-aging body balm and Salts of the Earth body scrub. And to top it off, it's packed in a vegan leather bag, making it a must-have for all your summer adventures. Everything Osea makes is clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Treat yourself to glowing, healthy skin this summer with clean, vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Right now, you can get the bestsellers body care set valued at $78 for 33% off. Use code SUMMER to save an additional 10%. That's an additional 10% off at oceamalibu.com, code SUMMER.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.